Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Radha Shyam Sundar Radha Shyam Sundar Radhe Shrimati Tulsi Maharani ki jai. All glories to the Sangha devotees. All glories to the Sangha devotees. Glories to the Sangha devotees. Glory Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. So we're reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, the beautiful story of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we're reading the chapter about Lord Krishna's entrance into Dwarka. And we're on text 26. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Yo Nivaso Yashyoraha. Panapatram Mukham Drisham. Bhavo Lokapalana Sharanaganam Padambujam Shriyo Nivaso Yashyoraha Panapatram Mukham Drisham Bhavo Lokapalana Saranganam Padambujam.
Please chant. Sriyo
Shriya of the Goddess of Fortune, Nivasaha, residential place, Yasya, one whose, Uraha, chest, Panapatram, the drinking pot, Mukham, face, Drisham, of eyes, Bhavaha, the arms, Lokapalanam, of the administrative demigods, Saranganam, of the devotees who talk and sing of the essence or substance. Padab Ambujam, the lotus feet. Translation, report, Srila Prabhupada. The Lord's chest is the abode of the goddess of fortune. His moon-like face is a drinking vessel for eyes which hanker after all that is beautiful. His arms are the resting places for the administrative demigods, and his lotus feet are the refuge of pure devotees who never talk or sing of any subject except his lordship. There are different classes of human beings, all seeking different enjoyments from different objects. There are persons who are seeking after the favor of the goddess of fortune, and for them the Vedic literatures give information that the Lord is always served with all reverence by thousands and thousands of goddesses of fortune at the Chintamani Dham, the transcendental boat of the Lord, where the trees are all desire trees and the buildings are made of touchstone. The Lord Govinda is engaged there in herding Sarabi cows as his natural occupation. These goddesses of fortune could be seen automatically if we are attracted by the bodily features of the Lord. The impersonalists cannot observe such goddesses of fortune because of their dry speculative habit. And those who are artists, overtaken by the beautiful creation, should better see to the beautiful face of the Lord for complete satisfaction. The face of the Lord is the embodiment of beauty. What they call beautiful nature is but his smile, and what they call the sweet songs of the birds are but specimens of the whispering voice of the Lord. There are administrative demigods in charge of departmental service of cosmic management, and there are tiny administrative gods in the state service. They are always afraid of other competitors, but if they take shelter of the arms of the Lord can protect them always from the attacks of enemies. A faithful servant of the Lord, engaged in the service of administration, is the ideal executive head, and one can well protect the interest of the people in general. Other so-called administrators are symbols of anachronisms leading to the acute distress of the people who are governed by them. The administrators can remain safely under the protection of the arms of the Lord. The essence of everything is the Supreme Lord. He is called the Saram, and those who sing and talk about him are called Sararangas, or the pure devotees. The pure devotees are always hankering after the lotus feet of the Lord. The lotus has a kind of honey, which is transcendentally relished by the devotees. They are like the bees who are always after the honey. Sri Rupa Goswami, the great devotee Acharya of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, has sung a song about this lotus honey, comparing himself to the bee. O my Lord, I beg to offer my prayers unto you. My mind is like the bee, and it is after some honey. Kindly, therefore, give me my bee mind a place at your lotus feet, which are the resources for all transcendental honey. I know that even big demigods like Brahma do not see the rays of the nails of your lotus feet, even though they are engaged in deep meditation for years together. Still, O infallible one, my ambition is such, for you are very merciful to your surrendered devotees. O Madhava, I know also that I have no genuine devotion for you, the service of your lotus feet, but because your lordship is inconceivably powerful, you can do what is impossible to be done. Your lotus feet can deride even the nectar of the heavenly kingdom, and therefore I am very much attracted by them. O Supreme Eternal, please therefore let my mind be fixed at your lotus feet, so that eternally I may be able to relish the taste of your transcendental service. The devotees are satisfied with being placed at the lotus feet of the Lord and have no ambition to see his all-beautiful face or aspire for the protection of the strong arms of the Lord. They are humble by nature, and the Lord is always leaning towards such humble devotees. Well, he covers a lot there, doesn't he? Actually, all of us are these pleasure seekers by nature. We're looking for pleasure. And I was thinking of, I always wondered what it'd be like to be like a pioneer, first coming to settle this country. And of course, the first thing we need is a reservoir of water. And so you can imagine the ecstasy of them finding, wow, now there's water, everything is set, everything is good. So for us as pleasure seekers, we are looking for the reservoir of all pleasure, and our search is ended. It's all in Krishna. It's all there. When we read this Brahma Samhita every morning, it's amazing. It's amazing how he's glorified in so many different directions. Everything is covered. It just goes on and on of how he's in control of this and the energies and the potencies and the different forms and expansions. But he's still a person. So all of this comes, all this reservoir is in the Lord's form. Here's where we're just getting a little touch of what different devotees can see in this form of the Lord. It's a drinking vessel for the eyes. It's so nicely described. It's a refuge. It's an abode, it's a shelter. So many wonderful descriptions of how the devotees see the Lord. But the devotee is actually trained to relish seeing God everywhere, inside and outside. We can find God, and we can relish that acquaintance, whatever that acquaintance is. Maybe it's just seeing God in the ocean, or as a shark, or whatever, or the taste of water, or the acquaintance of a certain picture in their house that you really zone in on. So we have that training of how to see God. I think everyone in this room, you wouldn't be here unless you had a certain type of training. And what was that? Driver's ed, right? You all drove here, right? So what was the easiest part of the test? The symbols, right? The pictures, you had to go, that's a railroad crossing, that's a this. And you had to memorize it, but it wasn't a big deal because your eyes really take things in. And from now on, you never have to think about it, right? You just see that sign and, yeah, okay, that's happening. You know, you don't think about it. So in the same way, devotees have to be so trained in the philosophy, in the form, in the deity worship, everything, so much so that, oh, Krishna, 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 everywhere. And it works. This bhakti yoga actually works. We become so familiarized with Krishna by our practices. And all training requires a lot of practice, a lot of exercises, and ours are the 9 processes of devotional service. Simple as that. We come here and we get trained how to hear, how to remember, how to serve, how to worship. And automatically, when we go out there in the material world, we see Krishna. We're actually becoming Krishna conscious. It's a wonderful process. What it's doing in this training is that it's actually flexing our spiritual senses. The more we can use them, the more we understand that we are the soul, and that our spiritual senses become a little bit more wakened up. And when we stand at the deities, we can see so much. When I first went to the Los Angeles temple and saw the deities for the first time, I didn't see them. I stood there, but I completely missed them. I don't know where they were, you know, because they weren't, I saw everything else, but didn't see the deities. But now, you hardly can get the men out of the front row so we can get up there, because they're like mesmerized, you know? They're like, okay, move on, you know, our turn, you know? So it's because we're captivated by the form. There's so many little teeny things, like the Krishna's two new flutes over there that Vishnupriya made, the little wood-burned flutes in Krishna Balaram. So many new things you can see every day. So our spiritual senses are becoming alive, and we're beginning to understand that Krishna is everywhere. How many of you ever played the game hide-and-go-seek? I hope everyone's played that game. You haven't played that game? Does everyone still play that game? Do they even go outside anymore? Do they play those things? They're virtual? Anyway, but Krishna, when you play that game, first of all, you have to do it. We used to do, what's that? One potato, two potato, three potato, four, or something like that. And whoever's it. And I hated to be it. I'd much rather hide, right? So Krishna's one of those persons that likes to be it. He likes to seek and find us. But he's not hiding from us. We think, oh God, where's God? He's hiding. But he doesn't hide from us. We hide from him. And what do we hide behind? Veils of misconceptions of who we are. So many coverings we have. I think I'm this lifetime. I think I'm that this lifetime. And it's unfortunate because we hide from ourselves. We can't even know who we are. And in that game, I remember we used to play it at night. Made it much more exciting. And your adrenaline would like go really high. You know, you'd be standing there and you'd see these feet go by and you're trying not to be seen and everything. So in the same way, sometimes people get home, right? They get to go home, you race to home, right? And then they go, come on, you can come in. We used to say, Oli, Oli, I'm free. Did you ever say that? Anyway, so then you run home. So Krishna, he has his representatives saying, okay, they're already home. They're saying, come on in. And so sometimes you would find a really good place to hide and you'd be there and no one would find you. Everyone else is home and you're sitting there hiding and you're there for like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then like everyone's bored waiting for you to get home. You're bored because it's not exciting anymore, they can't find you. In the same way, we get bored. Everyone else is home and here we are still hiding under all these crazy misconceptions. And we could be home with Krishna. And he's looking, you know, he's trying to encourage us. Please, come. You can come play with me. You can come see me. You can come be with me. So in this way, we should run home to Krishna and have that opportunity again and not hide ourselves in so many misconceptions. Because the highest pleasure is when we please him. It's a reciprocation, it's bhakti, it's that flowing devotion, that the real love that people are looking for. And it comes, the more we begin to engage in Krishna's service. But right now we're embodied, we have this bad bargain, and we are cruising around in the material world looking for other pleasure. We're looking in the wrong place. You're not going to find it in this material world. You're going to go around in circles. You're just going to drive around in circles forever and ever and just be lost. Until we can get strength in our intelligence, until our spiritual intelligence takes hold, until we can become purified and begin to taste the real pleasure that we're looking for. And this is this means that we can cruise around and all these obstacles that are there in the material world, you know, all the potholes and everything, we can just kind of just go over them and they're there, but it really doesn't make any difference for us. You know, these things happen and we realize that I'm cruising back to Krishna. And this makes it a lot easier. We can see these devotees that have left, like Karnamrita Prabhu. He'd been writing all the time about his leaving and all his realizations. You have more and more realizations as you realize that I'm not this body. Recently I took a course to keep my body and soul together so that I don't lose my mind as I get older. And to keep it sharp, I took an artist thing online. Really cheap, $9. for a certain amount of classes, on charcoal, doing charcoal drawings. And the whole thing about charcoal drawing is all you have is black, and you have your white. So it's all about tones, shades of black. It was really interesting. And you have this one charcoal it's compressed charcoal, and you put it on your paper, and you cannot erase it with anything. They give you like 5 erasers to buy, and none of them get rid of it. And then you have this, what's called willows. They're really soft pencil type things. And you draw those on, and you can just like smudge it off. Anything will take it off. So in Krishna consciousness, we have different shades and tones of Krishna consciousness, right? But the more compressed, the more intense we take to these 9 processes, and especially the more intensely we accept Srila Prabhupada's instructions, cent per cent, as he would say, the more we can see that Maya will not erase our progress towards Krishna. So it's really important to really remember Prabhupada's instructions and to meditate that, yes, this is the direction I'm going, and I'm going to do whatever I have to do to keep strong and intense in my service. And then the spiritual master will help you to have some real revelation in your heart so that you can see actually who you really are. So to keep this, we need to download so much of Krishna so that we can remember Krishna all the time. So that when we go out to nature, or we come in here in the temple, we see Krishna. When we chant our rounds, we see Krishna. So we have to download pictures of Krishna, philosophy of Krishna. We have to remembrances of nice festivals and devotees. We have to just completely fill ourselves up with Krishna by hearing and chanting Bhagavatam every single day, hearing classes. We can remember them at the drop of a hat. And this way, we can, Prabhupada said, 24 hours a day, we can be experiencing Krishna consciousness. This is the ultimate goal. And lately we've been reading about the how the devotees are feeling separation now in Hastinapur. They were saying goodbye to Krishna. It was really heartbreaking. Actually, they stalled them from leaving for a few months, and finally they left. Now we're seeing the residents of Dwarka welcoming them, so happy to see them. So the separation and meeting, we understand it's actually the same. And I had a nice little thing in a book I've been reading lately, and it described it, why it's equal. It's like when you're separate from somebody, you're thinking all day long, oh, I remember when he did this, and I remember that, and yeah, we did this, and oh, yeah, that reminds me of that, and yeah, he's... And what it does, it puts a picture in your heart, and so you're actually there with that person, which is totally satisfying, because you're thinking of all the time. Prabhupada gives that example of the mother's attachment to the child, and he'll see the little shoes outside the door, maybe at the kindergarten or something. Oh, my son, oh, you know, he just sees the shoes. So in the same way, just like the residents are seeing Krishna in so many different ways, and they can remember him in different ways. So we have to do that, and that means we have to be full of Krishna. There's a, well, Prabhupada was expert at that, actually. He would go on morning walks, and he would be at the ocean or something and see something and start going off on philosophy, right? One thing, or he'd see a tree or a bird and go, oh, and that's like this, and that's like this. And in the conversation, he could go anywhere and hear anything, see anything. I think he even looked at a TV show one time, and he went off, you know, on a big philosophical thing about it. So it's an art to be able to see something and remember Krishna. We have a game we play at gatherings sometimes. And it's a fun game. We'll play it right now. Okay? So I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to name an object. And then you have to, like, okay, and within 1 second, you have to immediately say something philosophical or something that you remember about Krishna that reminds you of anything. Okay. Manamati, boots.
Krishna didn't wear boots when he was in Vrindavan. Krishna didn't wear boots when he was in Vrindavan. He went bare feet because he felt like the cows are not wearing any shoes in their feet, and so he didn't want to wear.
Okay. All right.
We can kick the scientist's face with boots.
That's what I was thinking of. Okay. Face.
Kick on face.
Face, come on, somebody.
Moonlight face.
Ah, moonlight face, okay. Somebody else think of something.
Krishna made Radharani angry when he was trying to explain to Radharani's face, but the way he expressed, he was stretching the Chandravali's name. He said, Chandra Nayana, your face is so beautiful like a moon. But he was stretching the Chandra too far, and Lalita Sakhi was there. Radharani said, he's going to find Chandra.
Okay, he can go on for 3 hours. Okay, this is a short game here. Okay, Sukha, the floor.
Computer temple, and you're all cleaning the floor. Cleaning the temple.
Like cleaning our hearts, I guess. How about, this is an easy one. Tree.
Damodar Lila.
See, we could go on and on and on. There's no limit. We know so much about Krishna that every single thing should remind us of Krishna. There's a very nice pastime that I've said before, but I just love to tell this pastime. Dhananjay told it one time. I think I was in Portugal, and he was there, and he was telling pastimes, and this one really struck me hard. Prabhupada had gone out on a walk in Vrindavan with a bunch of devotees, and they had made the front room into a really nice, beautiful sitting place for Prabhupada and to receive guests. They put all those nice white pillows and white things, and they'd fixed it all up. And they brought Prabhupada back from the walk, and they wanted, before the opening of the curtains, they wanted to show him how they'd made it so nice for the guests. And they bring Prabhupada in, and Prabhupada sits down, and he looks around. And he goes, he takes his cane and goes, bam! He goes, sex life! And everyone goes, is something happening in the guest house? What's going on? You know, all the sannyasis look at each other and are like, ooh, you know, what's going on? And then Prabhupada took his cane and went up to the fan and said, see those pigeons? And he talked about, went on about sex life and pigeons and everything. So, but he said, you see here, but I see everywhere. So Prabhupada could. He could see everywhere. He could see Krishna everywhere. And it's described here in the end about the pure devotee, how they're sitting at the lotus feet of Krishna, and they're just totally satisfied sitting there. They don't even, you know, the Krishna's face, yes, but I'm just satisfied sitting here thinking of the lotus feet of Krishna. And this takes a lot of humility. The very last part of this prayer part is, the last word is humility, probably. They are humble by nature, and the Lord is always leaning towards such humble devotees. If you can find a humble devotee, a humble person, what a priceless gem you have. You know, just to see a genuine, humble person is just like, wow, you just don't want to go away from it. You just want to rub shoulders with it. So this humility of just being happy, just being at the feet of Krishna is such a rarity. And so sometimes it's good to actually go out into nature and to see the grandeur of Krishna's creation and to realize how small and insignificant we really are. It happens if you can just go by yourself sometime and like sit on top of a mountain or even just go to that tree over in La Crosse, that big huge oak tree, what's the name of that park? And just see, wow, how old that must be, how huge it is. It's just, you know, you can have some realizations of how small and tiny we are. And then you'll be ready to fall at Krishna's feet and to just stay there. It's not that we can imitate being humble. It's, unfortunately, you can't really imitate it. You have to just beg for it. You have to beg to be in that position, to realize what our real position is, that we are 1/10,000, the tip of a hair, and beg to be able to always look up at all the other devotees and realize that they are the best association for us. Here the residents of Dwarka, they're very happy, very fortunate, because the Lord has just come back to them, and they're able to have his association and serve him directly. But we also have an opportunity. We can have that same spirit of welcoming Krishna. We can welcome him in our japa. We can welcome him into our families, make him part of the daily program of, in our family life. We can welcome him onto the streets of Gainesville. Let everyone see, wow, there's the Hare Krishnas. Immediately they think, Krishna, right? There's those Krishnas again. And then we can also give them Krishna to take them home, put their books right in their home, and Krishna's there, they can welcome him there. And of course we can share the remnants of Krishna's prasadam with him. So this is also a nice way we can feel that we can welcome the Lord too, that we can have his association again. But we have to realize that the waves of the reservoir, usually you don't, unless you have a huge upset with the dam, usually the water just trickles out. You don't get a huge wave of this pleasure all at once, but Krishna lets it come out slowly. You have to be patient. And that's a very great quality too. And I found a really nice verse. I think it's in the Brahma Samhita, but it's in a purport by Bhaktisiddhanta. I'm not sure where it's actually originally from, but it really, really is very good advice about being patient and how this whole process of bhakti works in being able to remember Krishna. It says, the highest devotion is attained by slow degrees, by the method of constant endeavor for self-realization, with the help of scriptural evidence, theistic conduct, and perseverance in practice. So that's some really good advice. It's going to be slow. It's going to be gradual. But it's going to come with the evidence of book bhagwat, person bhagwat. That's going to help us have that strength. And then the constant serving of the holy name, trying to get rid of the offenses, that's our constant perseverance. Krishna's there in his holy name more than anything. All those pastimes, qualities, forms, they're in that name. So I have to persevere to get rid of the offenses, because that's what's keeping me from seeing Krishna. And then the endeavor, that's also a constant endeavor to put in that secret ingredient of some devotion and love and faith in our service. So this is very good advice, and we just have to realize that it might not happen all in this lifetime, but be patient, and we'll see how it goes. I mean, these residents, they're spontaneous devotees of Krishna, but we have Krishna rooting for us, just like we just heard about Vishal leaving and Karmamitra Prabhu leaving, and what do? Hare Krishna, we're all rooting, right? Go back to Krishna. If you look at Vishal's the comments, like, look down here, everyone knew Vishal. He was so friendly. And everyone's saying, yeah, you're going to go back. So you know, we're all encouraging. So Krishna's rooting for us, and all the devotees are rooting for us. And about one little caution is that working out in nature and doing artist work, that it's we can't be overtaken. I heard you chuckle that, you know, that we see the creation, we think, oh, how wonderful this creation is, and then we'll forget Krishna, that Krishna is the creator. We'll get so, you know, think it's so beautiful, like the, especially the sunrises recently that were just amazing. You know, when I walk home I see these sunrises, but you have to remember that that's Krishna's beauty. So just like Sita, Mother Sita, oh, look at that beautiful golden deer. Ram, can you get it for me? Right? Oh, sure, no problem. And so, oh yeah, it'll be a pet, I'll have it, so nice. And then, of course, the deer again with Bart Maharaj. Oh, poor deer, you know, let me take care of it. And then gone, right? There was a deer over here. The deer around here have a tendency that when they're first born, they put them near the fence to try to hide them where the grass is high. So many times I see deer, baby deer, just there. Somehow it walked over near Johnny Tai's house, and the girls were like, oh, look at this baby deer, so cute. And they took it, and it's gone, you know, the mother's gone, let's keep it. They put it in the backyard, I go, no, you can't keep, you know, the mother's going to come looking for it. And it sure did. It came back in the afternoon, because they go off and find food or something, and they figure they hit it well enough. And then they got so attached, they were crying, oh, you took our deer. So we have to be careful not to get too mesmerized by the material nature, but that it's the glitter is there in nature. But the most brilliant thing is Krishna, and like I said here, the smile, it's the smile of Krishna, or the sweet songs of the birds we hear every morning. You can hear on the when the person is giving class, you can hear these birds very loud. Those are it's actually the whispering voice of the Lord. So we have to memorize these things and remember Krishna in all the steps of our life and become very slow and steady in our service and pray for these realizations to come more and more so that we can go back to Krishna Loka, and we don't have to play hide and seek with them anymore. We can play real hide and seek with them. So any questions, comments?
Can I tell a hide and seek in Vrindavan?
Yeah.
Small pastime? Like less than 5 minutes.
Small.
I'm counting.
Such a word does not exist.
Okay, I'll tell you.
Okay, go ahead. Quick.
I'll tell the smallest one.
Okay.
Or shortest one. So, this is a beautiful Dasami Tippani of Sanatan Goswami Pad express that when Lord Krishna, he was playing with the coward boys, and from far he saw those girls are playing. And he had some issues already with Srimati Radharani, because Jogamaya covered, so they don't know each other, but they feel a tremendous attraction for each other. So they are playing hide and seek, all these girls. So then Krishna gave a signal to Subal to make some arrangement. So Krishna noticed himself that he is so eager to see her. So then Subal found out where she is hiding every time. They give a 1, 2, 3, everybody close their eye, and those who are going to hide, they run and hide somewhere. So after seeing for a while, then he gave a signal to Krishna, if he can go and hide in that cave, then he will be able to see her. So then when Krishna was hiding in the cave, so Radharani, she has no clue about it. So they say 1, 2, 3, so she hid on her cave. And then after a little while, in the cave is a little dark, after a little while she started noticing somebody is lying down there. Because Krishna, seeing Radharani's face, could not even hold. He fainted. So now she's like scared, and then everything is over. Lalita Sakhi says, okay, game is over, come out, come out. But everybody came out except her, and nobody knows what happened. Then after that, Lalita Sakhi found out what happened, and then they called Madhumangal to wake him up and to take him back home. So this is the beauty of Radharani, is that Krishna instantly got overwhelmed and fainted from hide-and-seek game.
So see, these are all little jewels we can keep, we can store in our mind. Just like the other day, I think it was the one about when Jayadeva was writing something and he went to take bath and Krishna came and he was disguised as Jayadeva and sat down, took prasadam, and then Jayadeva came back and said, you had darshan of Krishna, how lucky you are. So that's something I've been thinking about. You know, so you store all these little things, and they never get old. They're fresh. Just like the one when Krishna and Balaram and all the cowboys are honoring prasadam every day, and then they're shared. Oh, my mom made this. This is really good. Try this. And then someone says, Krishna, just close your eyes. I'm going to put a really nice sweet ball in your mouth, right? And he puts a flower, right? And Krishna's face gets all strange. So these little things we never get tired of. They're stored in there, and we just pray that we can, you know, they come, they surface more and more. And the more you put in, the more will come up. Jai Shri Baba Ki Jai.
I have a question. How do you create that kind of group to be interested, to instigate, or like every time we meet or talk, we should somehow other being Krishna instead of like, hey, what's going on?
It's just like we heard what before class about Papa said, no gossiping. Yeah. So, yeah, we have to switch it, make it Krishna Katha. Beg, borrow, steal, get the nectar of the holy name. So you have to choose your association. And you have to be the good association. You have to go in. Just like you walk in the Vajraya room and Nanda goes, Jarasan had 80,000 listeners. She tells you all these details of something she just read. She just says it out of nowhere. But then you think about, wow, that was pretty far out. So you have to be that good association.
I see.
And relish those who are good association. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you.